toast.
Toast.
Right here. Right now. Most important thing in life will always be the
Movie Squad.
Salute me, familia.
Welcome to the Movie Squad podcast. My name is Tristan Fidler.
And my name is Simon Morato.
This is an official RTRFM podcast where we share our weekly edition of Movie Chat as heard on Breakfast with Taylor. Or for this episode, Breakfast with Damo, every Friday morning, 7:30 a.m. on RTRFM 92.1. Covering cinema releases, covering streaming releases. But in this episode, we're covering two films that sound of a piece in terms of being, I guess, moody, dark, fair. And yeah, hopefully we'll get to an episode for what you reference are the kind of gentler audience members of the Movie Squad, listening brigade. Hopefully, yeah, we'll have something for them in the future.
And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. No. If you've got a sensitive stomach when it comes to, your palette of movies to mix complete parts of the bodies up there, that's fine. But this one is for those who like flirting with the fringe extreme.
And you review a film that I haven't seen, but I hadn't even heard about until I saw the trailer at Lunar Cinemas, and that is a film called It Is In Us All.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tongue twister, but it's hard to get your tongue around.
Yeah.
It Is In Us All from director Antonia Campbell-Hughes, a movie about a car accident that sends someone spiraling into a world of body horror and discomfort within their own skin. And what did you talk about, Tristan?
Well, funny you should mention that, because it also involved a car accident and someone feeling uncomfortable in their own skin or breaking out into a new version of themselves. And that is the new film from director Brandon Cronenberg, a kind of sci-fi horror, but more of a kind of mind, I don't know, like psychotronic mind F piece called Infinity Pool, starring Alexander Skarsgård and Mia Goth, and one that I'm sure we were both looking forward to being fans of his previous film, Possessor. But here is a taste of the trailer now from Infinity Pool.
I don't understand why we're doing this. We barely know these people.
It's one day. Let's mix things up a bit.
You're just happy you found your fan club.
I've been waiting 6 years for your second book. Is it coming out soon?
I'm working on it.
What do you do for money then?
He married rich.
I actually came here looking for inspiration. Come on.
Movie Squad boys, Simon Rado, Tristan Fidler. G'day, fellas.
Good morning. Hello.
Oh, it's good to have you in. Last Quokka with Justin, you guys, just there's a lot of energy, a lot going on.
We
love it.
Yeah, Tristan and I are the other Politico-punk outfit in Perth. And
finally.
We bring it to you this morning with some pretty hardcore films, I reckon, Tristan.
Yeah, look, I mean, Damo, are you a fan of twisted movies? Do you like a little bit of, I can't say the word on air, but like mind F? Do you know, like, do you like that kind of movie?
I don't mind it, but as long as you get some sort of payoff at the end,
sure,
that you recognize the movie's not too smart for you, as long
right,
as I understand it.
Ah, well, I mean, that'll be a good question for this next film, whether people who see it will understand it, because it's called Infinity Pool, and it does feature an infinity pool, but it's about a lot more than that. It's directed by Brandon Cronenberg, and yes, that surname is familiar. It's the son of legendary body horror auteur David Cronenberg. But this is his new film that's out in cinemas now, and it follows on, I haven't seen his first film, Antiviral, but his second film, Possessor, was one that we both saw and reviewed, Simon, and that was one starring Andrea Riseborough and Christopher Abbott, and it was about assassins who would take over the bodies of people to commit their targets. That was the plot.
That was it. It was to make it seem like random,
yeah,
these hits. And it was a really subversive film about a woman hit person who would literally step into the shoes of another person and grow less empathetic. That was kind of the interesting wrinkle to that film, and I really loved it, and I think it was in our top 10, or it was one of the films we rated very highly that year.
Yeah, I liked it. It's definitely like body horror, from father to son. Like the Possessor as a film was very invested in like people kind of tearing off faces or a lot of kind of blood and visceral sort of damage to one another. And yeah, there's more of that in store with this new film, Infinity Pool, which stars Alexander Skarsgård. Now, Damo, are you a fan of, do you know who Alexander Skarsgård is?
I didn't mind the most recent one, the bloody Viking.
The North.
Yes, the North, and that was good. I'm mad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He was the lead in The Northmen, but people might know him recently now as Mattson, the tech king, in the current season of Succession. And he always steps up to the plate with some challenging material, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. You know, he was sort of established as this hunk in True Blood, but he was very funny in that show as well, and has emerged like just trying and throwing different things at the wall. Even in Succession, you know, he's sort of an oddball character in that cast. And I even think of the movie Long Shot, the Seth Rogen, Charlize Theron movie, where he plays a very strange prime
Wasn't
minister.
Was he the Canadian prime minister?
Yeah, he was.
That's a very funny performance. Yeah, he's quite a funny guy when he gets the chance. But in this film, he plays a writer who is on holiday in a kind of... I can't remember exactly, but I think it's an invented country.
Yes,
I mean, it was shot in... I think it was... Anyway, but it's kind of like... given the feeling of a European island country that has very kind of strict rules and is a bit lawless outside the fences of the holiday compound. So he's there with his wife, played by Cleopatra Coleman, and he's basically seeking inspiration because he's had a six-year drought of writer's block after his first novel, which actually didn't do that well. So, but he's married into money. His wife is the daughter of a successful publisher. So he's basically there to kind of seek inspiration, and he meets a couple, including a fan of his first novel, played by Mia Goth, who I think is in everyone's zeitgeist review of Mirror now for the role is that she's played in X and Pearl, and she continues that streak with another kind of wild and wiggy performance. And her French Swiss husband, they invite this couple out to dinner. They go off on a trip outside the compound. Alexander Skarsgård's character drinks a few too many beverages, is behind the wheel as they're driving home, and then runs over a farmer in the dead of night. And then we take a little turn into the surreal because there's a bit of a rule or law when they get arrested for this crime, in that if someone kills someone else, even if it's like through a manslaughter, it has to be repaid. They have to be executed, hopefully by the family members, as kind of like blood for blood sort of system. So that's one thing to kind of face. And then,
there's another catch.
There's another catch, exactly.
Wait, there's more.
There's more. The official in charge, played really well by Thomas Kretschmann, says, look, you can get out of this if you pay a bit of sum of money to get a double cloned and manufactured, and this double will be killed in your place. And so that's that. The crime will be satisfied, punishment will be served, but you won't actually have to die. So that's quite a twist, because as far as I know, that technology is not available
yet. It's a few years away, I think. Yeah. Close.
But that is the catalyst for what happens next, in that after going through this transformation and witnessing this sort of really surreal and violent execution, Alexander Skarsgård's character starts to feel different. He starts to feel, I guess, a bit freed, and is happy to stay in the island and kind of indulge himself in this violent bacchanal with the other guests who've all been through this process, including Mia Goth's character. So I won't go into anything more, but there's lots of kind of violence, tomfoolery, kind of psychedelic drug-fueled orgies. It's a lot to take. Now, Simon, you've also seen this. What did you make of Infinity Pool?
Well, it's interesting. So I saw it about a month ago, and at the time I was like, hell yes, into it. Mia Goth's performance is unreal. And, I found it very entertaining. But the reason I mentioned seeing it a month ago is it has kind of fallen out of my memory a little bit. And Possessor kind of like planted itself there for a while. And I think it's a little bit of an indictment when a film can really, explore the fringes of the extreme human experience and it kind of didn't leave a mark on me. Maybe that's more of an indictment of my own psychological state. But it's a film that I wish I'd held on to a little more. And I think that's partly down to the ending. The ending's a little bit lacking. But the visceral nature of the movie is extremely enjoyable, provided you have an appetite, Damo, for horrendous violence and sex and just, again, things that you are not anticipating seeing in a movie like this. But one of the things I did respect, Tristan, and Damo, it's probably a question that's already implanted in people's minds, is like, oh, is this a movie about, like, are you the clone? You know, which one of you is real? And they kind of do away with that earlier in the film to say, no, this is more a movie about, you know, one's appetite for the extreme you know, what that does to one conscious, not a perpetually replicating one, and your sense of identity. So that, to me, I thought was interesting, Tristan.
Yeah, I mean, I saw this more recently than you, but, like, I would feel similar in that I enjoyed watching it. Like, it was very striking, and the performances are really good. Particularly Mia Goth kind of steals the movie with another kind of, you know, I like that she likes starring in genre films and that she really goes for it. But this film has a veneer of complexity when I think the actual idea is quite simple and basic. And it feels a bit like familiar after seeing other films about rich people indulging themselves on holiday, like Triangle of Sadness. You're nodding in agreement.
The menu.
Yes. Oh, the menu, yeah, yes. Totally, yeah.
It's a world that's getting mined quite well at the moment, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's kind of one of the sort of, like, if it had come out at any other time, it might feel like it was more original. But look, so I did enjoy it, but it also felt a bit like, I mean, obviously the director gets comparisons to his father, but to me, I felt like this was an amalgam of, like, weirdo art auteurs from the past 10 years. There's, like, a little bit of Yorgos Lanthimos, there's a little bit of Nicholas Winding Refn, there's a little bit of Gaspar Noir, but it doesn't quite have the conviction or the thoroughness of those other filmmakers. And I think that maybe with the next one, I think maybe he just needs a better co-writer or someone. But look, I did enjoy it. I think it would be great to see in a cinema. It's out in cinemas now. The soundtrack is by Tim Hecker, and it's, like, a lot of drone and ambient kind of harshness, which is really great. But yeah, Infinity Pool, I feel the same, similar to you, Simon, and we can test it out in the next 3 weeks whether I remember anything from the last
We're gonna
act
survey
of the film.
Each other every... I mean, I don't want to come down too hard. No, I actually did. I really liked it. I really liked it, and I think it's really good. But Possessor, kind of, I thought that was the step. I thought that was Brandon Cronenberg taking a leap out of his father's shadow a little bit, and this feels like a bit more of a plateau. But still really entertaining if you have the appetite for destruction.
Do you think you'd have the appetite, Damo?
Yeah, I reckon I would. Yeah, it seems like a nice, you know, Tuesday night alone, just going to the cinema. Well, I normally do it anyway.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so that's great. Simon, I'm liking what's coming up. It Is In Us All. I saw the trailer for that, and I was really enthralled by that.
Ref T667UB.
Hamish Considine. That's a nice name. Sounds like a saint.
Just wanted to visit the place, I suppose. Mum would have liked that. Do you have any idea how dangerous that is?
Talking movie squad, we're talking movies. Simon, Tristan, let's the show, the gravy train rolls on. I don't think anyone's ever referred to this segment as the gravy train.
We'll take it.
But from here on out, it is. Simon, It Is In Us All.
Yes, I'm excited to hear that you watched the trailer for this, Damo, and that you're quite intrigued by it. And this is, you know, following in the footsteps of Infinity Pool. And apologies once again to the listeners with a softer, gentler stomach. This is another movie about the extreme of human experience. And it opens with a car crash too. But it comes from director Antonia Campbell Hughes. This is their directorial debut, but they've been acting for a number of years now. And a couple of years ago, co-wrote a thriller called Cordelia, which they didn't direct, but they starred in it. It was sort of a riff on Roman Polanski's Repulsion and kind of captured, you know, the movie has some problems, but it really captured Antonia Campbell Hughes's presence as an actor, which is a sort of nervy, unsettling figure, you know, like uncomfortable in their own skin. It's not a commentary on the actor, but the kind of energy they bring as a character actor to a lot of roles. They have a very small role in It Is In Us All. They've worked as director and writer instead, but it still has that nervy energy, something like, you know, you're not, something's not quite right with these characters, you know, something, it feels like they could burst forth from their skin at any point. And one of the characters kind of does in a way. It centers on Hamish, played by Cosmo Jarvis, who is a really put together young professional man. He seems to be like the scion of a large media conglomerate, and he lives in the shadow of his father, played by Claes Bang, who people may know from The Northman. He was a villain in that, but also The Square and the TV show Bad Sisters. And we only ever see him via Zoom and over the phone because Hamish, the son, has gone home to Donegal in Ireland, or rather he's gone to his mother's home, his late mother's home, because her sister, his aunt, has passed away, and she's bequeathed to him her family house. So he's visiting Donegal to kind of solve the mystery of his mother. You know, there were some unanswered questions when she passed away, and he wants to know why she was estranged from her hometown and this land she came from. And upon arrival, he gets in a car accident. He is hit by two teenagers driving. One of the teenagers perishes, and the mother, played by Antonia Campbell Hughes, kind of haunts him as she's grieving in Donegal. Hamish kind of gets away okay. He's got a broken arm that, unfortunately for us as the audience, he takes the cast off in the film, and we see some of the protruding bone and kind of hints towards his nature as someone who needs to be in control but maybe is not quite as put together as he seems on the outside. And he also sparks up a relationship, a sort of quasi-friendship obsession with the other teenager in the car. And that feels very discomforting and unsettling. And it sort of builds crescendos to Hamish basically realizing certain things about himself and realizing that this place is actually home for him. But that's not a pleasant thing to come to the realization of, because it's a fairly despairing town. Now, Tristan, I know you haven't seen this or Cordelia, but you know this kind of tone of movie, this coming of age self discovery movie that's actually about, you know, someone unraveling. Is that the kind of movie that you look forward to?
That's a good question, because sometimes I go either way. And, you know, the thing, I saw the trailer for this movie, much like Damo, and it was, you know, I feel like I keep a sense of what's coming out. But this was a film, like, I just, like, never heard of. And, you know, that's what's great about some independent cinemas, you know, putting on films like this, which probably wouldn't see the light of day anywhere else. So, you know, sometimes I am quite in the mood for something that would be a mood piece, a character journey, and then other times, you know, there is that feeling of, oh, this I wish there was a stronger plot, or, you know, that it didn't feel like a mood, as it were. But Cosmo Jarvis is an interesting actor. I haven't seen a lot of him in other things, but he was in Lady Macbeth.
The last thing I saw him in as well. Yeah,
yeah. And that's a film that we both really liked, and was one of the first things that Florence Pugh was in as well. And he's been in other films that I've wanted to see, like Calm with Horses. So, yeah, I'm very curious about this. This sounds quite interesting and prickly, if I could make that assumption.
Yeah, and Damo, I'll be interested to hear, like, if this is more appealing to you or less appealing to you. But Tristan, you're right. It is a mood piece. Now, it feels super lived in, and the tone is there, the texture is there. It's a really compelling film. I did wish there was a little more to hang your hat on.
Yeah.
And I feel like I wish the movie pushed harder into surreal body horror, because it's not that film.
Yeah.
Or it had gone into more of the poetic tone piece. It sort of sits in between.
Yeah.
And so you kind of want it to either be more grounded or more sort of up in the air or completely off the walls. But it ends up being just a really interesting dissection of a character who is so internalized that it's only in the final moments of the film you get to see them truly come to the fore.
Just real quick, Simon, is it like After Sun? Is it more towards that level? Or?
Yeah, it's that's a really good comparison. After Sun is brilliant, 5-star movie. I think there's stuff to hang your hat on in that film.
Yes,
that's a tone piece.
Yep.
But I think that is a perfect, like, everything you need is on the screen in that movie.
Yep.
This one falls a little short of that, but promises Antonio Campbell Hughes as a really exciting director.
Simon, Tristan, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. I mean, it's too... Yeah, I do look forward to catching up with It Is In Us All, but, you know, from your review, I think that was something that I was kind of thinking about that, and particularly I know that with directorial debuts or low-budget movies or independent cinema, you will always kind of get films that feel like they're almost there in terms of kind of being more of a mood piece or being more of a kind of character study. And there are times when I want to luxuriate in that and kind of have that feeling. And then, as you say, there are times where I want meat on the bone or the hook to hang the hat on and a bit more plot and story, I guess. But it depends on the film and whether you really click with the vibe that's being put out there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's such a thing as like calling card movies.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a director's working within certain constraints. They're able to demonstrate their talent. They're able to demonstrate they can make a movie.
Yeah.
And it leads to bigger and better things. It Is In Us All is better than that.
Good.
So we've all seen those calling card movies. I don't know that most audiences have to justify. Like, all right, I'll pay for the ticket and I'll watch this film that just proves someone can do a thing. This is better than that. But... it's not a full meal of a movie.
Mm.
Not all movies are, nor should they be. Yeah, like I said, I think I would have just liked it to go maybe harder into the tone piece of it all. And After Sun was a really interesting comparison from Damo, actually, because there are, in this film as well, like a sort of void-like rave scene, which was sort of a sort of motif in After Sun too. So some interesting comparisons there, but... It Is In Us All. I think it's that kind of movie that you look back on, you know, two or three films in Antonio Campbell's filmography, and you go, oh, wow, they really did have it from the start. Mm. And I think they'll go on to bigger things. It's kind of, I guess, what I was hoping for from Infinity Pool.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I haven't seen Antiviral, but it feels like he should be taking another step now. So we're sort of, I think maybe we're being unfair to Brandon Cronenberg. We're sort of great. We're marking him on a what's the word? Sliding scale, right?
Yeah, but you know, it's funny as well. When I was the first half hour, I did think, you know, yeah, Infinity Pool might be a good double with After Sun, just because of the vibe in terms of you know, where it's shot. It's not Turkey, but it's definitely kind of has that feeling. But yeah, like, you know, it is. And I think it's always interesting when we talk about, you know, what we consider, you know, extreme or what we consider, you know, provocative, and that's going to change from audience member to audience member. But I think it was also just conceptually, I just like wanted something else in that third act in particular. And it feels like it sort of, it sets up a couple of dominoes and then it does, yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, quite. In some of those other films that I was, filmmakers I was reminded of, like Yorgos Lanthimos or Gaspar Noé, like you feel that they kind of push it. And even like someone who's very superficial, like Nicholas Winding Refn, I feel like he pushes it because he'll make you feel very bored. Whereas like, I feel like here, you know, it was an interesting dance between being kind of provocative and also just kind of like, you know, clicking along and making a sort of... anyway, so yeah.
Well, can I speak on that note, I think one of the things we mentioned off air is that Infinity Pool, when you kind of boil it down, it's basically Westworld. And so when we talk about it not being subversive or transgressive enough, it's not that it's not horrifically violent. Like, you know, Tristan and I still recoil at extreme horror.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make you feel truly upset or concerned. You can kind of, and that's what I mean. Like, I kind of walked out of watching it and I got on with my life, untroubled.
Sure.
Whereas Only God Forgives, the Nicholas Winding Refn film, which it reminded me a bit of. Now, I don't like that movie, but it touches on some similar themes, and it is really upsetting and subversive, and it has a similar maternal climax. I'm being very gentle with the language here.
Yes.
But that was a much more... upsetting version of what is attempted in Infinity Pool. So yeah, just so you don't think like, what are these freaks talking about?
These movies
are so horrific. There's an element of like moral discomfort that I would have enjoyed Or been intrigued by Brandon Cronenberg pressing into the way his dad does.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. That's a very interesting discussion or comparison with Only God Forgives, which I saw again recently, because that was a film that, you know, there was a lot of hype after Drive, and I think it left a lot of people cold and disappointed. But I liked it definitely more than you, it sounds like. But at the same time, I can understand that it's not enjoyable, and it's made with that feeling of, and there's a conviction to that. Like, even if it feels a bit wrong-headed or spurious in different ways from a lot of the angles of what that film does. But I was hoping for something from this film, and then but it's all, you know, your mileage may vary. I mean, have you ever thought or pinpointed where, like, the taste for the extreme came from in terms of your...
I don't know. Yeah. That's such a good question. And I think... I don't know. And I don't know... I'm trying to also think, this is how deadened I've become. Like, what was the last time I truly felt upset? But that actually said, you know, I've been working on a project in my life about extreme movies and problematic films from... you know, over the decades.
Yeah.
And in that research, I have watched films where I've gone, that is, that's rough stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a good example and reminder to me, like, that, you know, it's not about, you know, you get me, like you, me, listeners, viewers, you may develop steelier resolves through exposure, but movies can still, you know, pull that thread, you know, and they can still pluck those chords for you. And I find that quite heartening. And it's a reminder, like, oh yeah, it's not just me. Infinity Pool is the veneer of extreme without actually being transgressive.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. But definitely, if you've seen it and you had a different reaction, you can always let us know on the Movie Squad Facebook page or comment on the thread to this episode, which will be available as a podcast, which you're probably listening to right now because you're a podcast fan. And I look forward to another conversation about movies with you, Simon, at the next episode.
Likewise.